It is good to see all of you today, and we're in lesson number 17 in the book of Deuteronomy, and we are going to be picking up in chapter 29, and there we find Moses' summary of the covenant in Moab. Chapter 29, verse 1 is where we're going to begin. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. Now, all of the covenant of the Lord has been summarized by Moses in chapters 1 through 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. And so, when the Lord says, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make, it refers to what has already been told by Moses in those previous chapters. And so, the covenant is for Israel as she stands there on the plains of Moab, and it will be the Lord's covenant with Israel until the end of human life occurs on earth. It is the same covenant that the Lord made back at Horeb when they were there at the foot of Mount Sinai 40 years earlier. And here is the original notice of that covenant made by the Lord there at Horeb back in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were first. Then a complete description of how Israel was to live under those Ten Commandments was given in the book of Leviticus. And in this book, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has summarized and he has harmonized all the covenants of the Lord together. The covenant at Horeb and the covenant at Moab in one place for the nation of Israel to have it. So if they want the summarized version, it's here in Deuteronomy for the nation of Israel. So Moses speaks of the journey of the covenant to the last generation that lived in the days from Exodus to the plains of Moab and her experience with Moses in Egypt first. First in Egypt. He's going to talk about the whole 40 years, but he's going to talk about Egypt first, and that's where we pick up in verse 2. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, and great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. The Lord did not have to rescue Israel out of Egypt. He didn't have to do that. He did so because he promised Israel's ancestors that he would do it. And so he did. Israel saw the work of the Lord. Israel saw his great signs and his wonders. And yet Israel could not know, see, or hear the importance of what he has done. It was real evidence that the Lord was in control. And yet, they didn't get it. So Moses then speeds ahead a little bit and he continues to speak about the journey of the covenant with Israel, with her experience with Moses, where? In the wilderness. Experience in Egypt, and now it's this experience there in the wilderness in verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Catch this. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Well, these two verses reveal more about life in the 40-year wilderness journey with Moses than found about anywhere else in the Bible. Things are here that most of us never talk about or even think about. They tell us the things that did not happen in the wilderness. First, the clothing they wore when they left Egypt did not wear out. The new generation of adults that were there at the plain of Moab 40 years after they left Egypt were probably wearing some of those hand-me-downs. Where would they have obtained enough material to make new clothing for everyone? Out in the wilderness. Second, the sandals they wore when they left Egypt did not wear out. Again, some of those adults there standing 40 years later with Moses at the plains of Moab were probably wearing hand-me-down shoes. Third, get this. After they left Egypt and arrived at Mount Sinai, they did not eat one bite of bread until they crossed over the Jordan River. That means the tribes did not plant seeds or harvest crops while living in the wilderness for 40 years. It also meant that the nation did not have the grain offerings for the Lord the entire time in the wilderness. And expanding that thought, it meant the Lord fed all the animals as well as all the people of the nations because He was totally in control. Fourth, they did not drink wine or strong drink. Well, let me back up and say this way. After they left Egypt with some wine and strong drink, when they had drunk it all, they had nothing else to drink for the entire 40 years. No wine and no strong drink. What does it mean? It means that the Lord provided everything the nation needed while it was in the wilderness for the entire 40 years. It was true evidence that the Lord was in control. Now Moses speaks to Israel and her experience with Moses in the battle that had just occurred just months before. Two battles, just a couple of months before in verse 7. When you reach this place, Sion, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, but we defeated them. And we took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manassehites. So keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. The ease in which Israel defeated the armies of Sion and Og was true evidence that the Lord was in control. Israel was not strong enough to defeat those armies on its own. And the text told us that during those battles, that those armies were mightier and greater, but Israel defeated them. Now it's Moses' job to explain the journey of the covenant to the present generation standing there with him on the plains of Mount Moab. Because they were also participants of the covenant. Verse 10. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the aliens who is among your camps, from the ones who chopped your wood to the ones who draw your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that He may establish you today as His people and that He may be your God just as He spoke to you and as He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant of the Lord was His oath to the nation of Israel. As they would leave the plains of Moab, they'd go out and they're going to cross over the Jordan River and they're going to take the promised land in accordance with what the Lord has promised Abraham and promised Isaac and promised Jacob. And everyone there with Moses needed to understand the extent of the covenant for those who hear the words of the covenant. We pick that up in verse 14. Now, not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but both with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, and with those who are not with us here today, so that there will not be among you a man or woman or a family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, that there will not be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood." The covenant was not just for the Israelites that were with Moses there on the plains. It was for every generation of Israelites of Israel that would ever come in the future, born to these people, generation after generation after generation, all the way down to the end of human life on this earth. The curse of the Lord was for those who were not faithful to Him, and that curse would be great. You see, in the last part of the last lesson, there was this line that says, "There will not be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood." We just read that. What does it mean? It means the food of the ground will be gone and Israel will starve. Israel will not even be able to find poisonous food to eat. It is a significant threat to those who will not be faithful to the Lord from the nation of Israel. Moses then states the extent of the covenant for those who hear the curse of the covenant, and what the person does is seen here in verse 19. "It shall be when he hears the word of this curse that he will boast, saying, 'I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, in order to destroy the watered land with the dry.'" The Lord promised that a faithful Israel would live on well-watered land that produced great crops of every kind. But the Lord's curse also stated that the unfaithful Israel would struggle because the Lord would allow the land to stand dry without rain if it's an unfaithful Israel. And when does the Lord do this? Well, it's going to do it when an arrogant nation of Israel says, "I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart in order to destroy the watered land with the dry." One individual of Israel, stubborn of heart, can destroy all the blessings of Israel. And when the stubborn individual rejects the Lord, Moses explains what the Lord does in verse 20. "The Lord shall never be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse which is written in this book will rest on him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven, and then the Lord will single him out for adversity from all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant which are written in this book of the law." Oh, it is a horrible thing never to be forgiven by the Lord. In fact, when we get into the book of Joshua next, we're going to find out there's one in that nation that does something wrong on one of the battles, and Israel loses the only battle that it lost in the campaign to take the promised land because of one person. And the Lord blots out his name out from all eternity, and the covenant brings blessings to the faithful, but it also brings curses to the unfaithful. It is a stout warning to everyone listening to Moses. But the journey of the covenant extends past this generation to the next generation. The curses extend as well. The blessings extend, the curses extend. And Moses speaks of the curse in the sight of the destroyed land of Israel sometime in the future. The land of Israel is going to be cursed and is going to be destroyed. Verse 22. "Now the generation to come, your sons who rise up after you, and the foreigners who come from a distant land, when they see the plagues of the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it, will say, 'All its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass grows in it, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath.' And all the nations will say, Why has the Lord done thus to this land? Why this great outburst of anger? Picture the scene here. Moses is giving the last instruction to the nation of Israel before it crosses the Jordan River to take the promised land for the very first time. And the Lord is announcing the curse that is going to come on them one day and come upon the nation and come upon the land. And the Lord has already seen the future destruction of the land. When will it happen? It could be when the northern kingdom falls to the Assyrians 702 years into the future. It could be when the southern kingdom falls to the Babylonians 838 years in the future. But we know about those times in the life of Israel. We know about the destruction of the land, and it doesn't match what the Lord is warning in this passage. So then when will the destruction happen? The only next place it can occur in the Scripture is found over in the book of Revelation. But that is still in our future. What will be the reason for the destruction of the land of Israel far into the future? It's right here in verse 25. The men will say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went and they served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they have not known and whom they have not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and in fury and in great wrath and cast them into another land, as is this day. The reason for the destruction of the land will be because the people of the nation of Israel abandoned the love of the Lord God. Who made this covenant with Israel? Israel will lose her promised land in 722 BC and in 586 BC. It will not retrieve it again until 1948 AD. But even then, it will not return to the Lord and trust Him. It has not trusted the Lord to this day. And as written in the book of Revelation, their synagogues, which they will worship in, are what the Lord calls synagogues of Satan, because they've rejected the Lord. When He came to them as a babe, they rejected Him. When they crucified Him on the cross for their sins, they rejected Him. Today in Israel, they are on the promised land, at least a portion of it, but they do not worship the Lord as Savior. They still reject Him. And so Moses has given the prophecy of the destroyed land of Israel. We pick it up here in verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. He's laying it out. The secret of the future of Israel was known by the Lord, and it was His. But it was also the property of His nation. They got to know what was coming ahead of time. The covenant, with its blessings and curses, laid the roadmap for Israel. It could choose its future by how it followed the laws of the covenant. But the story of the journey of the covenant is not over. It will extend to the restored generation. Therefore, Moses speaks the prophecy of Israel's return to the promised land from the world in chapter 30, verse 1. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the people where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the end of the earth, From there, the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. We have the fortunate ability to gaze into the future history of what the cursed prophecy will do as delivered by Moses. When Israel loses the promised land, the people will be scattered throughout the known world. And when they are allowed to return to the promised land, it will not belong to them. The land will be taken first from them by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And upon return to the land will belong to the Persians. And the Persians will lose it to the Greeks. And the Greeks will scatter the Israelites from the land in large groups. And the Greeks will then lose it to the Romans. And during the Roman control, the Israelites will be living on borrowed land, and they will be scattered further into the known world. It will be known as the Great Diaspora. And the Romans will lose it to the Muslims, and the Muslims will lose it to the British. And finally, in 1948, the British will gift it back to Israel for the first time, and she will be back on her own land again, or at least a mere fraction of her own land again there in Israel. And even today, there are more Jews scattered in the world than living in Israel. Many people in the world do not even know they are of Jewish blood. For instance, the area surrounding Germany was a major pocket where Jews ran to early in the early years and were scattered there. Many changed their names and their religions in order to save their lives. I'll give you an example of one of the areas around Germany. One example is Madeleine Corbell Albright, our United States Secretary of State from 1997 to 2001. She immigrated from Czechoslovakia, and her parents with her when she was 2 years old. She thought she was Czechoslovakian. She was raised as a Roman Catholic and later became an Episcopalian. It was not until late in her life that she discovered she was of Jewish blood when her father's foreign ministry birth certificate surfaced stating that he was Jewish. And because of the length of time that the Jews were assimilating into Germany, there is hardly a German that does not have some speck of Jewish blood in their past. Now think how crazy that is when the Germans were killing the Jews, the Germans who were killing the Jews had, most of them had at least a speck of German blood in them because of the length of time the Jews had been there and the intermarrying. Be that as it may, the Jews have yet to be called back to the promised land. That calling hasn't happened yet, but that will happen one day. It's going to happen after a peace treaty is signed between Israel and the leader beast of the future revived Roman Empire. And every Jew in the world will begin to try to return to Israel to live there. Because there's been a peace treaty. And for the first time since the days of Solomon, Solomon as king, will there be a little bit of a semblance of peace in Israel. But not for long. For 3.5 years into that treaty, that beast leader will invade Israel and attempt to kill all of the Israelites. They will once again scatter to the ends of the world, and they will then only return to Israel after the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord takes the throne in Jerusalem. Then all the Jews of the world will return to Israel and take their plots of land by tribes. And when the Lord is on His throne in Israel, the nation of Israel will be the nation of nations. Here Moses speaks the prophecy of Israel's preeminence in the promised land among the world in verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. The Lord your God will inflict on all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all His commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as He rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in the book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. On the way to becoming the preeminent nation of the world, the scripture we just read says, the Lord will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. In the book of Revelation, we learn of the curses inflicted on the beast and his nations. They will begin with the loathsome and malignant sores, followed by the sea turning to blood. The rivers and springs will become blood. The sun will scorch men with fire. Darkness will cover the land. People will gnaw their tongues in pain. Kings from the east will invade to kill. The beast and his two associates will call for all to come and fight against the Lord there in the valley of Megiddo, the valley of Armageddon. There the enemies of Israel will rot where they stand at the appearance of the Lord. And by that time, Israel will be faithful to the Lord again and keep His commandments and statutes. Continuing with the journey of the covenant, Moses offers it to all generations. He asks the nation to observe the place of the covenant and states that it is not difficult for Israel. This covenant is not difficult. Verse 11. For this covenant which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you would say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Israel does not need to search for the Lord. You don't need to search for the Lord. He is near Israel. By the way, He is near you too. The covenant with Israel there in the plains of Moab, and it will be with her everywhere she goes. It is an easy covenant to keep. It is not too difficult. But where is it with Israel? It is near Israel. Verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. The Lord is within each person of the nation of Israel, in each heart and in each mouth, because He's given the laws that they need to know, the statutes, the commands. Just as Israel must choose the place of the covenant, she must choose the consequences of the covenant too. She can avoid the consequences because living in agreement with the covenant brings life. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. The nation of Israel standing with Moses will cross the Jordan River and take the promised land. And the Lord puts the future of the nation of Israel in the hands of the people. If it chooses to live in agreement with the covenant, Israel will be blessed in the promised land. But if Israel cannot avoid the consequences, let me start over. But Israel cannot avoid the consequences because living in disagreement with the covenant brings death. Verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess it. Moses will not let the people of the nation of Israel enter the promised land without this warning. He's going to warn them that their fate is going to be harsh if they disagree with this covenant. It will bring them death. And from the place of the covenant to the consequence of the covenant, Israel must choose the life of the covenant in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. God and all His angels in heaven, as well as all the people and the animals on earth, were witnesses of this covenant offered by the Lord to Israel. And while it is offered to the nation, it is really an offer to each person. Each person must accept the terms. In the rest of the Scripture, we discover that some of the people accept the terms, but most will not. We now turn to Moses' summary of his last duties. Now Moses' summary of his last duties. He has a message for Israel. And that message for Israel concerned the limitations of Moses. Chapter 31, verse 1. So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. At 120 years old, he has traveled as far with the nation as the Lord will allow. The nation will cross the Jordan River, but Moses will not. Well, there was the limitation of Moses, and now we come to the encouragement of Moses. We see the encouragement there in verse 3. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their lands when He destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. What better encouragement can anyone give anyone? The Lord your God is the one who goes with you, Israel, and He will not fail, nor will He forsake. Well, in his last duties, Moses must give a message for Joshua. He will focus on the ability of Joshua in verse 7. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. Joshua has been chosen by the Lord to facilitate the inheritance of the promised land. That is Joshua's unique ability given by the Lord. Well, from the ability of Joshua, we come to the encouragement of Joshua in verse 8. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What a promise for the new leader of Israel. The Lord will be with Joshua and never fail or forsake him. Then Moses has a message for the Levites. The written law is to be presented. Verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priest, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Not all Levites could carry the Ark of the Covenant. According to Numbers chapter 4, only the specific group of Levites that are called the Kohaths could carry the Ark. Now here are the highlights of that instruction back from Numbers chapter 4. This is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting concerning the most holy things. When the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it. And they shall lay a covering of porpoise skin on it, and shall spread over it the cloth of pure blue, and shall insert its poles. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and covering the sanctuary, when the camp is to be set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things in the tent of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. Moses gave the book of Deuteronomy, which he had just completed writing down, to the Kohaths for preservation through all the generations to come. So then we come to the written law being read. We had the written law being presented. Now we're going to have the written law being read. And Moses is going to charge the Kohaths to read the book every 7 years at the time of the Feast of Booths. Verse 10. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which He chooses, you shall read the law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the children, and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. Well, there's a message for Moses. The Lord has this message for Moses to prepare a meeting for the commissioning of Joshua. The commissioning of Joshua to be the new commander in place of Moses. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting, and the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. Now, even though Moses called Joshua to the tent of meeting, it was the Lord who commissioned Joshua to be the next leader of Israel. The whole nation of Israel knew Joshua was to be the leader because the pillar of cloud, which the nation followed for 40 years, appeared at the door of the tent of meeting. Now, the Lord told Moses to prepare a prophecy for the downfall of Israel. Can you believe it? A prophecy for the downfall of Israel. Verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. Israel will not keep the covenant. She will take the promised land in her faithfulness, but she will soon become unfaithful to the Lord by breaking the commandments of the covenant. So the Lord told Moses to prepare a song for the evils of Israel in verse 19. Now therefore, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips so that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and spurn me and break my covenant. Then it shall come about, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify before them as a witness. For I know their intent which they are developing today before I have brought them into the land which I swore. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Joshua makes sure that the song of Moses will be included in the book of Deuteronomy. He'll write it down. He'll copy it. Moses is going to teach it to them. It's not going to be a good song. It's going to be a song of warning. The Kohaths are going to take it and make sure that book of Deuteronomy, they're going to preserve it for every generation to come of Israel, and they're going to read it and read it and read it. We've got it. No Israelite is without excuse. They can read it today. They can read the book of Deuteronomy. And they can read the song of warning that Moses is going to write and teach to them that day. He does it in one day. We're going to hear that song of warning in the next chapter. But from now, we're going to hear Moses' summary of the Lord's commission. Verse 23. Then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." No commission service needs to be long-winded. All it took for Joshua's commission was written in this one verse. That's all it took. Well, from the Lord's commission, we arrive at Moses' summary of his last instruction. To the Levites, he gives a witness in the law against the rebellious. Verse 24. And it came about when Moses finished writing the words of this law in a book, until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it remain there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness, and behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death?" Moses had seen the rebellion of the priestly line. It was not new to Moses. Not all the priestly line were permitted to do all the priestly duties in every area of work of service to the Lord, and there was a reason. The Kohaths were the only ones who were the keepers of the book of Deuteronomy and the rest of the books, and that's because of the witness that the Lord had against the rest of the Levites. So then Moses has a word to the leaders. And Moses presented this word against their rebellion, the rebellion of the leaders, in verse 28. "Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call the heavens and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will act corruptly and turn from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days." That's an interesting word. "For you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of your hands." The leaders of Israel are going to lead the nation astray. It will happen in the future when the northern kingdom falls. It will occur when the southern kingdom falls because of the leaders leading them. It will happen then when the people crucify Jesus, their Lord, on the cross. The leaders will lead them to do that. They will continue to mislead the people until the latter days come, when the evil of the tribulation and the great tribulation comes upon them. The tribulation will come in the anger of the Lord, but that is centuries away from this passage. and this place where Moses is speaking on the plains of Moab. It's even in our future. To the assembly, Moses has a word, a witness in song against the rebellious. Verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words to this song until they were complete. That song we will hear in the next lesson. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless this teaching. We love teaching your word so much, and we ask that the Spirit be our teacher in our heart to hear and know the truth. Oh Lord, we love you beyond all comprehension. And Lord, we want to be faithful to your covenant, to your commands, to your statutes, and to your ordinances, so that we will be blessed by you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.